Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Your chance to win the Big Whiskey Prize Pack. It is our 9 o'clock hour prize just for listening. Ryan makes it very, very simple on you to be victorious.
That's a confusing way to put that.
The next time you hear, as I stall for time while the computer is loading, next time you hear this.
Trap.
Next time you hear that, be caller number
15.
Caller number 15, a number we very rarely pick on this show.
Never.
Never do we pick 15. Caller number 15, next time you hear that, drop 913-576-7610. I'll hook you up with a Big Whiskey prize pack. Hey, speaking of Big Whiskey, our guy Binkley is going to be out there tonight doing the show.
Oh, very nice. All right. And he's going to be in for the round table coming up in about 15 minutes.
He is.
He's been here since noon yesterday.
Binkley makes it a rounder table.
And he really does.
A lot of bank.
Good.
We need to revisit.
It's football season.
Chiefs win F. Let's see how we did. Brought to you by Aristocrat Motors, Kansas City's home of luxury automobiles for over 50 years.
Bob said the Chiefs would win if they held Phil Lindsay under 150 yards rushing.
There you go.
Yeah, nailed
measly
that one.
36. 36. How about that rush defense yesterday?
Rush defense was fantastic yesterday.
Bob said the Chiefs would win if they won the time of possession.
Strangely enough, I didn't check that last night.
I didn't. That was the least of my concerns.
That was just not on my radar, but the Chiefs did indeed win the time of possession. 32-13 and 27-47. Yeah.
There you go.
Matt Moore in the ball control offense.
Josh said the Chiefs would win if they scored 25 points.
There you go. Denver had yet to score 25.
And Chiefs, they did not 30. Get 25 last night. They were far, 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 far distance away from 25 points.
Josh said the Chiefs would win if they won the turnover battle.
Scoop and score.
Yeah.
Scoop and score.
Ryan said the Chiefs would win if they ran the ball more than 25 times.
And we laughed at him. Yet they ran it 27. How about
27
that? Way to go, Andy.
He listens.
Two of them were with the quarterbacks. One of them I wish we didn't.
Yes, that's right.
But I'm not going to play the results like old Robert over there.
It's not just me. It's what
I'm
you do.
I'm firmly in on that, too.
Mayor's in on it. You're out on an island on yourself.
I am certainly not on an island.
You can play the results because the results.
The results are the results. It's what we do. It's our job. You look at the results. You don't run.
But by that logic, you should never even sneak ever with the quarterback.
That's not it at all.
You have not been listening, Ryan.
You have not.
You and many others have not been listening.
I have certainly been listening.
No, you haven't been paying attention.
You haven't been paying attention. You haven't been paying attention. I mean, it's clear he hasn't been paying attention.
That's true. Ryan will not have.
He did go out drinking last night, so I understand he's a little slow moving today.
He will not have an S next to his grade for
listening.
Listening.
No.
That is Chiefs Win If, brought to you by Aristocrat Motors, Kansas City's home of luxury automobiles for over 50 years. We did pretty well, except for the old quarterback thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
If only we'd, I wasn't going to. Chiefs win if their quarterback doesn't finish the game.
Right.
No, it wasn't quite going to be expected. But if you'd have told me, though, 30-6, and knowing what I know now, which is Matt Moore could have won that game 30-6, then we'd all said, hey, just go ahead and rest Pat anyway.
Right.
Because this is going to be a walk in the park. The game was not as easy as many predicted. You and I felt it was.
It was easier than many predicted.
I'm sorry. It was much easier than most people predicted. Yeah. Sorry, I said that backwards. You and I both were pretty comfortable with the game. When I walked out of here yesterday, I'm like, a Chiefs offense is going to roll.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting any great shakes from the defense, but I didn't think it was going to be a close game. I did not think it was going to be a close game. I didn't expect the Broncos to be that bad.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they'd be a lot better. They were terrible. Their offense was atrocious. Their running game was not effective. Their quarterback looked like you made him quit.
Mm-hmm.
Then, if I'm Vic Fangio today, I'm looking that quarterback in the eye. I go, you done or what?
Yeah, because you suck.
Because you clearly don't want to be here. That was making some guy go and quit after they'd won back-to-back games. They certainly did not look like that team. Looked more like the Broncos we thought they were going to be on paper before the season started, not the one that had played the previous 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah, they were bad last night.
That's not taking anything away from the Chiefs defense. I'll take 9 sacks, 205 yards, total offense, all those things that the Chiefs defense got out of this one, take it and run. I'm not discounting it at all because the Broncos were atrocious.
And we talked yesterday about this defense not being able to stop the run. They had a rough go of it for the first drive. After that, they were absolutely brilliant, and they mentally and physically took the Denver Broncos out of that game. I've never seen a player like Joe Flacco quit on the field like he quit last night. He up and quit on his team. And if I'm the Denver Broncos right now, I'm thinking about benching him full time. I understand you got to wait till Drew Lock gets off that, you know, midseason IR, and I think you ultimately have to wait until you know what the future is going to be with him. But I think right now, as soon as Drew Lock is ready, you put him in there, because Joe Flacco quit on his team last night. He mentally checked out of that game, and that's a credit to the Chiefs defense for being superstars last night.
Yeah, they made a guy quit. That's the ultimate.
That's it right there.
That's the ultimate muscle flexor. You made this guy quit.
You think he cried in the car on the way
home?
He
might have. No, I don't think he cares enough.
No, I don't think he does either.
He didn't look like a guy last night that gave two flips.
He's there collecting a paycheck. He doesn't give a rat's behind.
He wasn't upset enough to cry.
Yeah, I don't think he is.
Jacob and KC wins the big whiskey prize pack just for listening. Our Chiefs roundtable coming up. Josh Vernier from Show and Vern. And Bink. Jay Binkley from Bink at Night. They join us next.
Fesco in the morning.
Makes him 9 for 10 in that category. On third and fourth and one, picking up a first down. And it sets up first and goal. And
well, that's what I was talking about. He's at the bottom of that pile, and there's just a lot of bodies, a lot of people falling on top of you. And you know, I can tell you a lot happens at the bottom of that. Just hope he's not re-aggravated that ankle.
He's injured.
We'll be back on The Call on Fox.
That's the only thing they did wrong last night.
Their only miscue is going to commercial day.
Yeah, they were great.
I understand they probably had to, but they should have stayed with it. There would have been some great video that we would have all been able to see, but it didn't go down that way. And obviously, it's funny too. Troy Aikman says, "Oh, you wouldn't believe what happens to the bottom of the pile." We asked Joe Mays earlier. Linebacker goes, "No, we never touched the quarterback."
Well, like, two different eras, though. Yeah, you know, like Joe's recently retired.
Yeah, he's like, nobody's messed with the quarterback.
Yeah, you get fined if you do that. They're not getting fined.
Everybody knows you don't touch the quarterback anymore. It is our Chiefs roundtable. Josh Vernier from Show and Vern and Bank from Bank at Night joining us this morning. Good morning, gentlemen. Nothing to talk about, huh?
Yeah, what are we going to talk about?
Nothing to go over. 4 hours to do later on. You got big whiskeys tonight. You got nothing to talk about today.
Yeah, huh? last night was interesting. I was talking to Andy Lindahl, who does the post game in Denver.
Name dropper.
Mm-hmm. It's not a name dropper. He's not a name. But it's funny because, I mean, it was completely, I mean, Chiefs broke Denver. I mean, they're
yeah.
And I was like, well, we kind of had an interesting post game as well.
Andy.
No doubt. Had a lot of people on the Matt Moore bandwagon.
Well, they broke Denver. They broke Joe Flacco, too. I've never seen a player just up and quit in the middle. Have you guys ever seen that in any sport? Vernon, in baseball, you ever see a guy just quit in the middle of the game like Joe Flacco did last night?
No. I've seen people quit, but I haven't seen the body language to go along with the quitting on the field. I mean, that was just, I'm done with all of this.
Yeah.
I'd rather just go comb my hair somewhere.
You watched the 0-16 Lions.
He and Brock Osweiler go up to the Bahamas and just enjoy themselves.
It was almost like, F this, I'm out, man. Like, I've never seen an athlete just be, and even Joe Mays said, he goes, we never even did that to anybody. Like, you never demoralize somebody so much where they were just done. Like, they wanted out of a game like Joe Flacco.
That team was ready to quit anyway. I mean, Chris Harris was, counting down the days until the season was over earlier. Mm-hmm. Von Miller was giving 13-second press conferences. They win a couple games, and he's Mr. Chuckles in the media sessions this week. And the whole question to him is, can you beat the streak? And it continues.
Yeah.
Well, credit to Spags.
Yeah.
Credit to Spags. Gas pedal right out of the gate. Spags was unwilling to continue to look like a punk. You know, whether it's Frank Clark or Darren Lee, whoever's talking about we lost our aggressiveness after the game against Houston, yeah, that's a poor reflection on the coaching. And I think Spags, right out of the gate, well before Pat got hurt, said, all right, I'm taking things into my own hands. We are bringing the kitchen sink. And you saw a different energy out of that defense.
Yep.
Because over the past 2-3 weeks, the only guys that I would call firecracker guys, the guys that jump off the TV at you with their energy, have been Tyreek Hill and Tyrann Mathieu. But man, Anthony Hitchens last night, Reggie Ragland, Derek Nnadi, Frank Clark, Alex Okafor. I mean, up and down that defense last night, you saw an energy that I believe is attributed to a very aggressive play call by Steve Spagnuolo.
I thought it was really good, and even Vic Fangio was giving him credit.
It was all levels of our passing game were the problems. You know, protection sometimes, receivers not getting open sometimes, them using good coverages for us that maybe we weren't ready for. But it's certainly a problem that we have to get rectified moving forward.
And I think that's the key right there. Vic Fangio said they were using coverages we weren't ready for last night. So even in a short week, Steve Spagnuolo says, you know, we're going to change things up. I don't care if it's a short week. We got to do things differently. And they did that. They out-schemed Vic Fangio and the Denver Broncos last night. And that's a credit to Steve Spagnuolo.
You know, it's about time. You know, Pat Mahomes has been carrying this team. It's been carrying Andy Reid with the play calls he's been doing, not doing the run. And Pat Mahomes has been carrying this defense as well. There's been a ton of pressure on Pat Mahomes. Where's this been? You know, we're stepping up for Pat Mahomes in Detroit. Where's this been with this aggressiveness? Don't count on Andy Reid going to Steve Spagnuolo and say, come on, Steve, pick it up. Seriously, Andy knows more about defense. He schemes against it every week. Mm-hmm. Don't discount what he did with Steve Spagnuolo during the week, calling him in and saying, all right, Steve, we got to change things up. This was an organizational thing. As Vern said, they were smashing him in the mouth from the beginning. Andy Reid seemed different last night. He was excited after the game. He just seemed different. It wasn't about the 200 wins. They were aggressive, and Andy Reid showed something at the end of the game that I haven't seen in a long time. He had that fire again. Don't discount what he did with Steve Spagnuolo.
Because he's going to need that defense.
Yeah, defense has to.
He had to have it. They had
to maintain that moving forward.
I was going to say, sustainable or not, or is that just a matchup against the Broncos?
Because there's a lot of people going, oh, it's just the Broncos. But I'm like, I don't care if it's just the Broncos, man. You need that slump buster. Last night could have been that slump buster that we've needed on this defense.
And what's Tyrann Mathieu been saying? Tyrann Mathieu's been going on about how guys have not been bought in on the defense. When you see it succeed in the fashion it did last night, it makes it easier for these players to maybe zip it during team meetings, to maybe buy into whatever Steve Spagnuolo or Alpha House or anyone else on the defensive coaching staff, whatever they're trying to spit at them. Now you understand the why of what the coach is asking of you. And man, it really permeated throughout that defense. 27 Rashad Fenton last night at the beginning, not very good,
right?
But you could see the positive energy permeate throughout that defensive huddle. And by the end of the game, the kid was making some plays.
He was making some plays, and that's a tribute to Brett Veach, because we've sat here and crushed his draft picks for the last couple of weeks.
Derek Nnadi stood up.
There was a lot of drafted players on that defense that came to play last night. Fenton, obviously, one of them, and even on offense, McCole Hardman had a nice night. You know, the kid they traded for down in Houston to go out and play offensive line for Carlos Hyde, he played well on the offensive line last night. I thought the Saunders kid from Western Illinois played nice and affected the run game. I mean, they were really good, and a lot of those guys that played well last night are guys that Brett Veach drafted, and we're looking for, like, who's going to be the guy that's going to step up out of this? Crushed his drafts a lot over the last couple of weeks, and those guys played well last night, so you got to give them credit.
To Vern's point, though, having everybody involved in that makes it so much easier to get the buy-in. I mean, if it was one guy standing like, oh, at least he played well. That was up and down the line. You found guys that made plays, and we were trying to find singular plays for, like, Frank Clark in a particular game.
Whatever.
And you had singular plays from a whole ton of guys last night, which was awesome.
Well, football can snowball, too, when things start going your direction. Which defense is this? Is this the defense we've seen all year, or is it the defense you saw against the Broncos? Are they going to show up against Green Bay? They have to show up.
Yeah.
I mean, they should have been showing up all year with Pat Mahomes not being 100%, but they didn't do it. They finally got the memo. They finally showed that aggressiveness and punched him in the mouth. But Joe Flacco is a statue back in that pocket.
But look, we didn't expect the defense to be a finished product in week one, in week four. Nope. So this is, in my opinion, somewhat of the natural progression,
right?
Something that you talked about, Bob, all offseason about it's going to take a while before you see the best of a Steve Spagnuolo defense. Now, I don't think
they're not that good.
Agreed. I don't think they can duplicate that against Green Bay and Minnesota, but knowing that that belief is now in that defensive
meeting
room.
That's all that matters, man.
I hope that that carries over and you at least see a better effort against Green Bay than you did against Houston.
Stop the stupid penalties. I mean, they carried Denver.
The penalties were bad,
yeah. The third down, but then they flipped the light switch on and they changed.
And you know, I've used this comparison a couple of times already this morning. In 07 with Spags and the Giants, they got a big stop at the goal line against the Washington Redskins in Game 3, and that kind of sprungboard them to play better defense the rest of the way. They went on and shut down Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. I think that two-point conversion play was huge. I thought that was a big momentum boost for them because they had just played a terrible drive, and Reggie Ragland made a great play to shut that down. I thought that was big.
That, to me, was... Most of what I saw last night from that defense was schemed up and aggressive play calling by Steve Spagnuolo. That stop at the goal line, that was just want to from Reggie Ragland. Yep. That was just, all right, I've had enough of this. He went up in that hole and just stuck Phillip Lindsay. That was, the highlight of the night defensively on a night when the defense was the story.
Josh Vernier from Show and Vern, Binkley from Bank at Night in studio with us. It's the Chiefs Roundtable. Oh, by the way, we might have some quarterback things to discuss. We'll do that next.
Fesco in the morning.
913-576-7610. If you know last night's player of the game, Bink, don't give it away, that they gave you on the postgame show last night. 913-576-7610. If you know the player of the game, you can win some Topper's Pizza. It is 1,000 on the 30s. Text the word SALT to 72881. SALT, S-A-L-T, SALT to 72881. You could be the $1,000 cash winner in the national contest. 610 Sports Radio, the only sports radio station in Kansas City, giving you a chance to win up to $8,000 each weekday. Listen on the 30s from 9 to 5. Your next chance at 10:30. Rules at 610sports.com. SALT. 272881.
Binkley wants to tell a story about bacon salt. I can feel it through the glass.
I'll tell you what, when I was in St. Louis, we had the inventor of Baconaise and bacon salt on the air when they first invented that. We got all kinds of free bacon salt.
You can't find the stuff. I've been to every grocery store in this damn town.
I told y'all.
You can't find to order it. I have to order it.
Call Justin Esch. He's the founder of Bacon Salt. He'll hook you up. He's a Facebook friend.
It's the greatest thing. Combined salt and bacon. Come on.
That was awesome.
Good job with salt and bacon. Though.
Justin Esch on the poll there. That's good.
Beautiful thing.
All right. There's a...
Nah, let's not do it. Talk about Pat.
Yeah. Pat.
You got 4 hours of it, brother.
I know.
Pat.
Come on, Patty!
A lot of armchair medical people in this deal.
There is, yes.
but I think it's okay to play out all the scenarios and go from there.
Talk about everything.
If you're definitive of what you believe is the case, I think you're a little mistaken right now. Like, it's only going to be 4 weeks, guys. We don't know anything at this point. The MRI today, and we'll see.
Yeah, I talked to somebody last night. They said, we're hoping. They use that term hope. I don't like the term hope when you're doing this medical stuff. We'll wait till the MRI comes out. But let's say it is worst-case scenario, and he needs to have this surgery. Are you guys willing just to shut it down for the rest of the year with him and move on to make sure you have a healthy path for the next 12 years versus worrying about this year?
Of course. I don't see... Look, if he has to undergo surgery, there's no hope. I mean, you could still maybe... No, who cares? No, you shut it down because this entire organization, this 53-man roster, is built around Patrick Mahomes being an MVP quarterback. And when you lose that, this is a slightly above average ball club with a well below average quarterback, and that team is going nowhere. So let's just get the better draft pick.
Well, and I think right now, though, sitting at 5-2, you're still going to win 10 games. You still got the Raiders. You still got the Broncos. You still got two with the Chargers. And you've got the Tennessee Titans. Like, the ability to win 10 games is still there. And that's what Andy Reid does. So that for people to say, oh, the season is over. Well, it may be over for the potential of winning a Super Bowl. But it's definitely vastly different. But I still think even if Mahomes doesn't play again this year, I still think they can win 10 games.
Yeah, I'd protect him at all costs because here's the thing. He was overcompensating on his right side because of the left ankle.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, you have the right knee into the equation. You know, I don't care, you know, if he puts a brace on, it comes back. Where's the leverage going to come from? Because you were using your right leg, but now the right leg has the knee injury. So where's this leverage going to come from?
I had this conversation with Jen the other day. She was walking around. She goes, she ran that marathon. She's like, oh, my foot hurts, but I think I was overcompensating on one side because the other side was bothering me. And so
that's
then
a big thing. That's where injuries happen when people overcompensate.
And it just starts moving up the body, and then it becomes the back, and then you're a wrap. Once you get a bad back.
Oh, then you start talking like you're in your 40s now, right? Yeah. Oh, my back,
hurts today.
Yeah. Yes. So, but you're right about that. You start to overcompensate on that, and that's what you don't want him to do. And I'm
you don't
all
want
about,
an RG3.
No, you don't.
You can't have that, or else.
Well, you don't want to sit here 2 years ago. What have we done? You know?
We have waited so long for Pat Mahomes in this town,
right?
And I can't believe, you know, listening to your show earlier with somebody calling about trading Mahomes. It's like, what are you talking about? We've waited for a quarterback in this damn town forever. You know, this town is passionate sports fans. Mm-hmm. We watch everything. We watch the Super Bowl. We watch everything. Kansas City fans watch everything. And they love sports. Mm-hmm. They love grabbing their mom's cigarettes and heading down to the basement, getting on their keyboard. They love watching sports.
Is that what you used
sports.
To do?
Yeah, absolutely. But
What kind of cigarettes did your mother smoke?
All I smell Marlboro. Here today is chew spit.
But the bottom line is this town has been wanting Pat Mahomes. He's been the savior. At its core, this is a very footballish town.
Yeah.
And became this way for a long time. Now, the Royals stole that thunder for a while. But you lose what is the hardest to find commodity in professional sports, the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And to hear this, well, you know, it's time to rally around Matt Moore. No. I'm not excited about last night's game. I want to be excited about last night's game that the defense showed up. But when Pat Mahomes, that's the guy we've been waiting for. Mm-hmm. In this town that you can't find.
You think
everybody's trying to find that guy. It is not easy to find. He's a once-in-a-generational type of talent. This is not an easy deal.
What do you think ultimately would be the reaction from Chiefs fans if you could say, okay, he could be back in 3 weeks, but he risks injury again, or you can have surgery and shut him down for the rest of the year and preserve him? What do you think the reaction would be for?
But they're not going to say he's going to risk injury, because if they go that direction, they're going to shut him down.
Yeah. You think?
Yeah.
Because ultimately, if they roll him out, they're not going to do it.
Because if they roll him out, it would be, well, he's not going to hurt it any further. That's the only reason they ever put you back on the field.
He's a tough guy, man. He's a tough guy, carries a lot of weight around that organization. It's going to be tough. Peyton Manning to retire. Sure. You know, it took Archie to do it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I would think the only way you push a guy like Patrick Mahomes when he's possibly risking re-injuring that knee is if someone's job is on the line. And I don't think Andy nor Brett, I don't think either have to worry about job security. So both of them should invest in their own future by investing in Pat's future.
Good luck telling him. They popped his knee in place on the field. Then he waves off the cart. Yeah. Good luck to sitting him. sitting that guy.
But they're gonna have to make the decision.
No, I know, but it's going to be tough. Yeah, it's going to be the toughest thing to do is tell him.
Well, it's not going to be tough. Hey, do you want to play for the next 12 years and be okay? Let's just get this taken care of now.
We're still going to give you $200 million in a few months.
Right. You're still getting paid. Everything's going to be okay. But we need to make sure this is taken care of to preserve you going forward now. You know, we can sit here and debate the play call as well. I thought it was the most irresponsible decision that Andy Reid has made as head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, because you already have the ankle injury. If he's not hurt, he doesn't have a bum ankle, I don't have a problem with it.
Right.
But we talked, how much did we talk for the last 2 weeks, fellas, about preserving this guy, maybe even sitting him this week against the Denver Broncos because of that ankle, and then you send him into a line with 21 other dudes and 44 legs flying around where somebody could roll up on that ankle, and we know how much worse he's been after the ankle got re-injured in the last two games. I thought that was an irresponsible play call by Andy Reid. Where do you guys stand on that?
Since 2015 in the NFL, the quarterback sneak is the third most used option, meaning going up the middle and going to the outside has been more popular than the quarterback sneak. Bill Belichick, the greatest coach in history of football, in my opinion,
sure.
He does this with Tom Brady all the time. But the analytics would say the shortest point between is a straight line to get the quarterback sneak. It is an analytical thing that you run this, but you have to take analytics out of the equation and say this guy has a bad ankle, like you say, Bob. This is what changes the analytics. The analytics will say today that this was a smart play to do.
It is not a smart analytics.
Exactly. It is not a smart play to do when your quarterback's on a bum ankle.
Right.
It is a dumb play, especially when you're getting Anthony Sherman. I heard you guys talk about Blake Bell earlier. Don't forget, this guy had 24 rushing touchdowns his first 2 years.
Yeah, that was what he
did. Oklahoma.
That's what he did.
The Belldozer, 6'6", 252. This is what he does. But you do risk that chance of fumble when he just comes in and does that.
But and you also, your running game was working last night, too, like for the first time in a couple
of weeks.
Sherman
was hitting it.
And then to go with 222 to go in the third quarter at 3rd-and-1 and then hand it off to Anthony Sherman with a backup quarterback in there. I mean, come on. You should have done that. I think it's a very irresponsible play to call when you have a quarterback with a bad
ankle. It's 100% chance to be hit. 100% chance to be hit. Not only that, but you have your own teammates pushing you forward.
And falling.
But there's
a mess.
There's a 100% chance that you're going to get hit. And he's a target.
And we're still talking about the NFL. We can acknowledge the changes and how it's quote-unquote safer now and there's no kill shots anymore. But you are an absolute fool if you think that a Denver Bronco defender going into the game knowing that everything will change once this ankle gets re-injured. You're a fool if you think that guys aren't twisting it, leaning on it, putting an elbow into it. So even if he didn't hurt the knee, it's a silly, silly play call by Andy Reid. Because, look, the goal, I thought, last night was score as many points before he re-aggravates the ankle.
Correct.
Because eventually, as Therese told you guys yesterday, they're gunning for it.
Yep.
They're going for that ankle. So eventually they're going to get it. Put up as many points as you can and try and protect Pat from himself.
The Texans and Colts watched him. They looked for the little bit of a limp that he had before they switched to more man. They watched Pat Mahomes. And if you watch NFL, Vic Fangio was sitting there watching Mahomes during the whole pregame. It was funny when they showed the Mahomes shot. They didn't even show Fangio, but Fangio's looking over there at Pat Mahomes. I even said, hey, why didn't he go out there and just fake that the ankle's bothering, throw Denver off, in the situation. But
Bink, you brought up the Tom Brady and how often he scrambles. To me, that is very tired. When was the last time Tom Brady's bum ankle?
I'm not talking
ankle
about scrambling. I'm talking about.
I understand. They do it a lot. When was the last time Tom Brady's bum ankle was responsible for consecutive losses with the Patriots?
Right, never.
And if that happened, show me where Bill Belichick put him in danger. Stop with that argument. I'm all for the quarterback sneak, but on this particular Thursday night,
I think he's speaking to the masses because there are people like, I think Andy Reid made the right call. No, not when a quarterback has a bum ankle. Your job as a coach is to put your team in position to be successful. Andy Reid did not do that last night with that play call.
And also, if you say, well, it wasn't the ankle, it was the knee, which we've heard a lot today.
Oh, God, yes.
Okay, erase your memory. Go watch that and then just stop it. Mm-hmm. Stop it when he's hurt. Not knowing the outcome of what but you know he's hurt. Your first instinct is ankle. You're saying, terrible play call.
Right.
So how could you reverse that thought when it comes out and it says, well, it wasn't the ankle, it was the knee. Right. That doesn't make any sense either, right? He was hurt because you put him in a position to get hurt. It just happened to be he got lucky and missed the ankle. And unfortunately hit the knee. Oh, man. Plenty more to talk about. I'd ask you what's coming up on the show today, Vern, but I think I know.
More of this.
All right. Joe and Vern, come your way today at 10 to 2, and then Bink at night a little bit. Bink, what's coming up on your show tonight?
Matt Moore. Let's rally around him.
Bink also does not like Matt Moore, so some of that will be coming up, I'm guessing, tonight as well. Guys, thanks for dropping by.
Thank you.
The Big Finish coming up, and what we learned with Billy Coons next.
The son of Mark, the nephew of Boogie.
Fesco in the morning.
You think they wear lederhosen at Glocktoberfest?
I wear lederhosen on random Tuesdays in July. Sorry, was this on?
Nobody needed that visual.
That's a weird look, by the way. Like, who was the one that said, you know what these shorts need? Suspenders.
Suspenders, yeah.
Oh, that was the result of a prank or a bet gone wrong.
Lederhosen?
Yeah.
I don't think that's the origin story.
You did. You have to wear this
Josh lived in Europe for a little bit, so he knows.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh.
Result of a bet.
So you could just make up anything about Europe right now, and I'd have to believe it.
That's correct.
That's correct. Well,
do you...
Josh is an expert on Europe.
When you think of lederhosen, however you want to pronounce it, don't you just picture Chevy Chase in European vacation dancing around and knocking things over?
A little bit. But I mean,
that's my.
I can offset the Lederhosen with a giant stein of beer, so yeah, I don't have a problem with it really.
How many steins can you hold? How many did you hold last night, Ryan?
I wasn't drinking out of a stein. It was, I don't know what they call that cup.
The snifter?
The nice looking one, yeah. The nice looking snifter cup thing.
We understand you don't have the time probably to listen to the show all 20 hours. Wish you did. You can always catch up at 610sports.com or via the radio.com app. But each and every week, Fesco's biggest fan, Billy Coons, sums up the week that was with what we learned.
Hello, this is Billy Coons, and this is what we learned on Fesco in the Morning for this week. On Monday, Bob and Josh recapped the Kansas City Chiefs' second straight loss, and mayor of the Kansas City, Quint Lucas, joined the show to discuss Chiefs football. On Tuesday, Bob and Josh talked about the bad officiating in the Detroit and Green Bay football game on Monday night, and legend Bob says the games are rigged and scripted. And Bob and Josh says the injuries on the Chiefs offensive line have really hurt the team, as you can tell by the play of the Chiefs. And Bob and Josh talked about the five-year anniversary of the Kansas City Royals going to the World Series since 1985. And legend Bob, he is an expert on how to eat pretzels. And Bob and Josh discussed the Kansas City Chiefs if they should bench Pat Mahomes for Thursday's game because of the injuries. On Wednesday, we learned Jalen Ramsey was traded from the Jacksonville Jaguars to the L.A. Rams. And Iowa Josh is an expert on light bulbs, and legend Bob is an expert on eating Halloween candy. And Bob and Josh spoke to former Kansas City Chiefs head coach Dick Vermeil on the 60th anniversary of the Kansas City Chiefs segment. On Thursday, the guys previewed the Chiefs versus the Denver Broncos Thursday night, and the guys discussed their favorite kind of candy to eat. And the guys did their NFL survival picks for the week. It's a great week to listen to legend Bob, Iowa Josh, and brother Ryan. Talk to you later.
Talked about candy a lot this week.
Yeah, I guess we did, didn't we?
Like, some of my favorite parts are, he's like, you know, I'm an expert on light bulbs, you're an expert on candy. And also, they talked to Dick Vermeil.
Yeah.
Like, Dick Vermeil.
Clearly, the candy and light bulb conversations were better.
And there was Dick Vermeil.
They usually are, right? They usually are.
And legend Bob is an expert on pudding.
Still the best.
Yeah, I think it's still. It's like the butt fumble, right? The butt fumble is always going to be great.
It's always going
to
be
the pudding
best.
One's always going to be hard to beat. It's really not going to beat the pudding.
I mean, he really dropped the legend Bob on this one.
Legend Bob, he is an expert on how to eat pretzels.
He put some steak on that legend Bob.
Not put.
I am an expert on pretzels.
No, how to eat them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just the pretzels, just how to eat them.
I like to bite the bottom. Well, I'll get a lick. Can I finish?
Are we doing this here now?
We've devolved into a
Ross Perot impressions?
Yeah. Yes. I like to take the pretzel, bite the bottom part, wear them as glasses.
Yes.
Like the tiny twist?
Yeah, like you get the twist, and they kind of look like glasses, you know, like the normal,
like the full size rolled gold.
Yeah, and you take it out and you bite the bottom part off, and you put it on your nose, and you can wear them as glasses.
Never have tried that.
Shut up!
I've never tried. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Really?
100%.
Oh yeah, that's how you do
it. If I'm gonna lie to you, why would I make that the lie?
I don't know.
I've never tried pretzel
because
glasses.
It's idiotic, and you don't want to admit you're a dope like me. I don't know.
No, come on, man. I'm a grown man that puts bugles on my finger.
Oh, you still do that?
Witch hands.
The kids laugh, right? They love it.
I purposely buy larger olives.
I do too. I buy the extra large Lindsay olives in the can because I know they will fit on my fingers.
Big finish.
Bob is an expert on making meatloaf.
It's time for the big finish.
Wait a minute! What's happening to my special purpose?
I'll have what she's having.
Brought to you by EverNewClinics.com.
Former NFL team doc, David Chow. He's on Twitter at ProFootballDoc. He looks at a lot of NFL injuries, tweets about, writes stories about them quite a bit. And again, he's not in that room with them, but just based on his experience, looks at a lot of NFL injuries. He joined us earlier in the show today about the Patrick Mahomes injury and discussed what the timetable possibly could be.
Not every patella dislocation is the same. There are many other factors. Questions that need to be answered, including, was there a chip of articular cartilage or something else knocked off and the kneecap dislocated? And, of course, x-rays were reported as negative, but sometimes not everything seen on x-rays an articular piece doesn't show up on x-ray, so the MRI will help there. How badly does the medial patellofemoral ligament or medial retinaculum, not trying to be too fancy here, but the tissue on the inside of the knee, the medial side of the knee that holds the kneecap from going out in the other direction, how stretched or damaged is it? There's no question it's going to have some damage. The question is, how stretched and damaged is it? What's the shape of his kneecap? What's the angle of his knee? How deep are the groove? Is the groove? Basically, what's the likelihood that it's going to come out again and cause further damage? All of this stuff needs to be assessed with physical exam and MRI. And then I think Mahomes and the Chiefs have a big decision to make.
So a dislocated kneecap.
That's
so you're
correct.
Evaluating
what's groove is in the knee. Too.
What's that's right. What's the likelihood
the
of
heart.
It of it popping out
what
again?
I thought.
Right.
Right.
And well, this time did it pop out and get some, nick something else too? That the MRI can find that, or the likelihood of it popping out and then nicking something else the next time, and you have a worse situation. For that knee, all under consideration and all a little bit at the mercy of the MRI and what results you find from that, first and foremost.
Well, I think the whole thing with this is if you don't fix it right, it's going to be a problem long term. And as Vern talked about, and we mentioned earlier, you don't want to talk about RG3 in the same sentence as you're talking about Patrick Mahomes. You want to go in there and make sure you fix this injury the right way. It's going to be difficult to tell Patrick he may not be able to play for the rest of the year if that's the case. But if that's the case and that's what they have to do to get him right so he's good for the next 15 years, that's what we need to do. And everybody we've talked to about this injury, everybody we've read about and the things we've read about this injury continue to say it will happen again. It will pop out again. And each time it pops out, it gets worse and worse and worse. And as Dr. Chow talked about, and you can hear the entire thing at the radio.com app, he talked about the arthritis then setting in into the knee. And that's a concern as well.
Sure.
So I
and anytime you do a procedure, it's not, they call it cleanup.
Right.
They're not cleaning it up.
Oh, no. God, that's a lie. Yeah.
You're fixing what the problem is now. That doesn't necessarily... It's not good, right? If you've had surgeries and you've had multiple surgeries, it's not, you don't get better. It's not fixed,
right?
So you open the door for more, right? That first
that's
time
exactly
you go in there.
Right. So I think ultimately you got to do what is, I would say, more conservative than maybe what you want to do with this, because he's more important long term than he is right now this season. And that's my two cents on that. If you're looking at it and you're saying, I don't know, we could go either way. It's touch or go. Either way on this one.
No.
Then you go the way of the surgery. Then you go the way of the surgery.
That's where I'm at. I am firmly okay with punting this season. Like, if it means give me 10 more years of Patrick Mahomes.
And
nothing's
even
guaranteed in that regard. But I'm playing it today under the worst-case scenario, which is he's going to have to be out for the season. If they determine that he can come back in a few weeks, cool.
Right.
We can resume this this show already in progress.
Correct.
Right? If it's a long-term deal or season deal, are you good with Matt Moore?
I'm fine with Matt Moore. Yeah, you're already 5-2. You've still got the Broncos again. You still got the Raiders again. You got the Chargers twice. You got the Titans. You've got the opportunity to still go out there, win 10 games, win this division. That's what Andy Reid does. I can't underestimate or overestimate or however you... Don't underestimate the ability that Andy Reid has with quarterbacks.
I wouldn't hesitate, though, to go like a mid-round pick. If you could pry away
Eli Manning.
An Eli Manning or even a Fitzmagic, I'd be willing to try one of those things.
I wouldn't go Fitzmagic.
For the remainder of the season, knowing you're just doing a, you know, rest of the season rental type thing.
Right.
Can you upgrade Matt Moore from Matt Moore and put yourself on a path to try to do something in the postseason? Weird stuff happens, right? Backup quarterbacks
sure
can go and win Super Bowls.
We've seen it.
So
Matt Moore may be the new Colt hero.
Maybe Matt Moore could write his own Disney movie if that's indeed
God,
the case.
Yes.
I would like them to explore that if it is a long term thing. I wouldn't automatically go with Matt Moore, but I don't like a lot of the options out of there. I think Eli Manning is intriguing.
That's the only one I'm interested
in.
And
Fitzmagic for a short spell wouldn't be the worst thing. Other than that, I'm not really interested.
Fitzmagic is great in October. I want Eli Manning because he's great in January. And if you've got the opportunity to... What are you laughing at? He is. Look at his playoff record. The guy's won 2 Super Bowls. I mean,
what's he done this decade?
What has Fitzmagic done?
Ever.
I'm not over here platooning for Fitzmagic either.
Hey, maybe if somehow you get your way to the AFC Championship game and you got Eli going up against Tommy. Great storyline. Great storyline.
You just wrote the script.
I'm just saying, great storyline, right?
You just wrote the script.
Bring some intrigue. I like it from that perspective.
Make the call to Tennessee, see what they want from Mariota.
Oh, my God.
He's awful.
He sucks.
Just see what they want. It's got to be better than Matt Moore.
I don't care what they
Colin
want.
Colin Kaepernick's still available. I don't think he's doing anything.
He hasn't played in 3 years either.
Matt Moore hadn't played in 2 years. So.
The last time he played was he played week 12 of 2017. He hasn't played like a year and a quarter.
And he knows the offense at this point.
And he knows the offense better. At this point in time.
Maybe.
Mike Vick also knows the offense.
That's true. Okay. He's someone 40. Wanted Mike Vick.
Donovan McNabb, also 40. Familiar with the offense. Mm-hmm.
There are no bad options.
Is Kevin Cobb available?
Except for the bad options.
There's a lot of bad options out there.
So stay tuned to 610 Sports Radio throughout the day today. We'll get you the latest when that MRI is out. Just go ahead and show it to everybody when it's done. Coming up on Joe and Vern.
It should be like Shawshank Redemption where they come out with the hammer and they've got the press there. That's the way MRI
look
should
the,
be.
Look for the white smoke. The guys say Patrick Mahomes is even smarter and tougher than we all thought. Next.
Talk to you later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.